And I really appreciate the worship team, what they do. They gave us all an opportunity to come into God's presence this morning. So let's give them a hand. I really do. Wherever you guys are, out there, man, I'm so thankful for that. And also, I wanted to thank Amy, O'Neill. She gave us opportunity. She helped us to give to Spring Creek Living Center this last Christmas. And I tell you, it means something to give, you know, and they're so appreciative of it, and they're so helpful, and it was just a good thing. It was a good thing. Thank you so much, Amy, for helping us do that. You know, it's a big deal to us. It's all of life, you know. It's like so big, and I got to actually go shopping. It's the only thing I bought this year for anybody, was for that, and Jeannie handles that for me all the time, so I don't have to do it, and it's just a big deal. Dwayne, I left my notebook on my desk, I think. I need it. I need it because otherwise we're going to be here till 12:30, and it'll be okay because I really do. I love what God's doing today, and I believe what I want to share this morning, what God's put on our hearts for this coming year. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but things are uneasy right now. Thank you, Diane. And my notes are in it. There we go. And it's actually saying, I mean, have any of you noticed that the world's just cray-cray? I mean, it's like, talk about unsettled, unrest. There's so much division. There's so much name-calling. It's like everyone thinks they're a genius, and that if they're right and they're wrong, and it's just like, I've never seen, it's like polarized. I don't even want to, you know, if you look at any kind of news media or anything, you know, I hate the, and you know what that's stirred up, which breaks my heart? Jeannie's sister, one of her little sisters is a pediatrician, a doctor, and she was talking on the family's web text message group about how it's affected children. Facts. The isolation, the social distancing, the lockdown has affected children in physical ways and emotional ways that they think will take 20 to 50 years before we'll see the real effects of it. It's been devastating to the kids. And so many parents, we don't know what to do. It's like, what do you do? The world is full of worry, hopelessness, depression, anxiety, finger pointing. You know, I don't care if you're a right wing or left wing, liberal or conservative. It's unhealthy to take out and judge and put your rage on other people. And it's unhealthy to call people names. Well, you're an idiot if you don't think like me. Well, that means you're all idiots because I think weird stuff. That doesn't make me right. Are you right? It's like Jesus really is the answer. I'm so thankful the songs we sing, they bring us back to a focus of Jesus, you're our safety. You surround us. It's your presence. You're my anchor in the storm. You know, Jesus has an answer for all this. This dilemma, because we're finding ourselves, you're dead in the middle of it. You are. If it's not in you, it's on both sides of you. And I believe God has an answer for this. There's so much selfishness going on with the children being sent home all the time and all the parents under so much stress. There's a lot more abuse happening to children today. It's ridiculous, the numbers are. You would just die if you understood how serious an effect the lockdown has had on children from infants through their teen years. And it's really happening. You know, and my question is, how do we live a successful life in the middle of this thing? Like, is it possible? You know, if you're smart, I think if you're a thinking person, you realize we're not the first generation in the world to have these kind of things going on. There have been difficult circumstances in our world since the beginning. You know, even Jesus, he was born into a time. Guys, have you ever thought about the time he was born into? The Roman government were dictators, and it was crazy what they did in his world. You had no rights unless you were a Roman citizen. And even if you were a Roman citizen and you were a woman, you had no rights. If you weren't a Roman citizen, you were trash. And they could make you do anything they wanted to do, and they could do anything they wanted to you. There were no systems of protection for children, for aliens, for ethnicities. That didn't exist when Jesus was born. Even his own government, the Jewish nation that was under, they were under occupation by Rome, but even that they were corrupt. Who do you think ordered that all the baby boys 2 years old and under in that entire region would be murdered right in front of their parents? It was a Jewish government. Listen, there was chaos. There was unrest. But Jesus, he was born into the middle of how did he live? How did he navigate his life, guys? You know, it's funny. I love this. You can go back and study it. It's a great study. I'd like to do it this morning. But do you know the Apostle Paul, he was Saul, S-A-U-L, until they changed his name to Paul. But when he was Saul, you know what he did? He was the head top guy coming up in that Jewish religion, and he was going and he was taking captive men and women and children and bringing them back to Jerusalem to be punished and imprisoned for following the way. Now that's a great study. That's what they called people who followed Jesus, followers of the way. Now, you look in Acts chapter 4, which was documenting the growth of the kingdom of God, and Dr. Luke was documenting that. You look on and further in that book, you'll find out that Saul has an encounter with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Not road, what road is that? Yeah. And it knocked him off his high horse, right? And the leader all of a sudden is on the ground and he's blind. And God speaks to him. Listen, I'm telling you, if that happens to you, you won't leave the same way you came in. Encountering God changes your life. So Saul became Paul, right? Great guy. And then Paul actually, later on in Acts, Luke writes down, Paul stands up and says, listen, since I became one of those people, a follower of the way, he called himself the same thing that he was calling the people that he was persecuting before. You see, because there is a way to live that's different, that's beyond. It's like Pastor Sim said, he's not shaken by the world we're living in. There's a way, and it's about the kingdom of God. And what I want to talk about this morning is like, guys, there's a way to live successfully even right now. And we want to look at what the scriptures say about that. But you know, I do a lot of therapy, counseling, seed digging, freedom prayer, whatever you want to call it. And I've been studying it for 25 years now, almost 30 years. It's been interesting. Well, one of the guys, a famous psychotherapist in the world, in the worldly science guy, was a guy named Viktor Frankl, right? And in 1942... he died in 1990, but he was one of like the pioneers of psychotherapy. He was Jewish. And in 1942, him, his parents, his wife, and his brother were all arrested and sent to a concentration camp as Jews. And when Victor was there, his father died within 6 months. And over the course of the next 3 years, Frankl, Victor, was moved to four different camps, ending up in Auschwitz. Now, I've only traveled the world once. I went to Poland and Germany, and I made the mistake of going there. It was like the most depressing place I've ever been. I saw three concentration camps, and I looked. And I looked at the pictures of the victims, and thousands and thousands and thousands. And I looked at the pile of bones and hair, and it was just, I wish I'd never gone there because it's so depressing. Well, Victor was there, not as a tourist like I was. He was there. He was in those camps for almost 4 years. Well, the German people had a problem. You see, they used the Jewish people as slave labor for a few months until they died. And then they just kept getting more. But they wanted to get work out of them. It was what they were doing. They were working. And they had a problem. The Jewish people started committing suicide at such high numbers that they were losing their workforce. Well, guess what? They had a Jewish psychotherapist, Dr. Frankel. Viktor Frankl is in the room. So they told him, listen, fix this. We don't want your guys killing themselves. We don't mind killing them. We just don't want them to kill themselves all the time. And so Viktor came up with something. It's really interesting. He believed something that was really big. And guys, I want to tell you, you find it in Christ. I believe all truth comes out of the kingdom of God, and we discover it in our scientific world. Viktor found something out, and this is what he found out. He believed that even in the midst of the most dehumanizing and atrocious conditions, life must have meaning and purpose. He taught the people in the camp, here's what he taught them. And because it's really true. You and I need something bigger than just us to live for. If you're living for you, you're going to have all kinds of psychological disorders, you know, defined. You're not going to be full of joy. You're not going to have purpose. You won't have motivation. You'll be hopeless. All the things our country right now that are happening around us, people are feeling, they could all be solved. They really can. You see, I believe that what Dr. Frankel was identifying is really true. You need to have a reason, a purpose for living greater than just your life. Even if you're suffering. And they were suffering, and they were guaranteed to die, right? I don't know how Victor made it out, but he did, but 99% didn't. Well, here's what Victor found out. He said, you know what, guys? And he'd look a man or woman in the eye who's starving to death and bones and skin. You know, y'all have seen the pictures. Who knew they only had 3 months to live before they starved to death and were worked to death. He'd look him in the eye and he'd say, listen, now I wrote this down so I'll get it right. He said, if you would not kill yourself, but force the Nazis to kill you, then there's purpose in this suffering. Because it would eventually reveal to the world the horror of what happened there so that it would never happen again. And all of a sudden, a people that had no purpose and no hope and no future had a reason to live. Oh, yeah, I'm going to live. I'm going to live till you kill me. And now the world's going to know what happened here. If I take my own life, it's been meaningless. If you take it, then future generations won't have to live through the horror that we just lived through. And you know what? Suicide went from here to here. Guys, I want to tell you something. We have a purpose for being here. You see, you have a purpose for being here. And in the next few weeks and months, we're going to talk about that. Because I believe the world has shaken the church, right? It's shaken every business. It's shaken families. It's shaken stuff. But I want to tell you what's happening is when you're panning for gold, what do? You shake the pan until all the worthless stuff falls out. And what's left in the bottom of the pan? Gold. And I believe God has let this thing happen in our lives. Whatever, I don't care. But when you shake it, what you're going to find at the bottom of the pan will be gold. And I want to tell you, here's how you come to that place where you can live through this with an inner peace and an inner joy, even if your business is bad, even if everything around you is bad, there's a way to live well. And could you imagine in that concentration camp, they believed him. They said, you know what? My life may seem meaningless to these people that are destroying us, but I want to tell you, my life matters, and I am not going to give it away. You're going to have to take it. And it changed the world for those guys. So it really is true. Jesus really is the answer. Now let's look at how Jesus to do it, because Jesus is the way. If you want to have a successful life, Jesus. If you want to have joy, Jesus. If you want to have freedom, Jesus. For 2,000 years, that's been true, and it's never changed, and it's true today, and it'll be true tomorrow. And he is our shield, and he's our reward. But I believe somehow we need to refocus and get our goal in line again. We need to have a purpose. You need to have something bigger than just you, something larger than just your life. And when that happens, something transforms inside of us. And we begin to live the way Jesus did. You know, Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, right? That's what he said. He was the light of the world. And then he said, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that can't be hidden. Now listen, you're the light of the world. You know, but I think a lot of times we don't act like Jesus or, you know, the sun, the real sun that's up there, you know. You know, have you ever looked at the sun? And have you ever seen it straining to shine? I'm going to shine today! It doesn't do that. It just is. It just shines all the time. It doesn't have to do anything. It just has to be itself. I want to tell you, there's a light inside of you that's there that you don't have to generate it. It is in you. You are the light of the world. And I think the first thing we have to understand is we have to understand that. Here's the way you and the world's trying to make you feel right now. I'm not a good actor, but I'm going to try to do this. I'll get you guys to help me. Have you ever gotten in trouble or you see somebody getting in trouble and they're like, and they get put on the spot and they're like, me? You know, oh, I'm a superhero, me? It's like this doubting question, right? Now, I'm telling you, just like those guys in the concentration camp, just like your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. Guess what the hope is for your neighbors? Me? Oh, man, I don't want you to be my hope, if that's the attitude you have. But, you know, that's the way the world is trying to force us to feel right now. Oh, the economy? Oh, the president? Oh, me, the president? Who? Okay, I'm not going to say that. Who cares? I care. But I ain't worried about him. He's not in charge. Or she's not in charge. Or the government's not in charge. Well Alan, what if you lose all your money? Oh, what? Money's not in charge. I could use to lose a little weight, you know? It's not a big deal. Even a little more exercise. Well, you won't have money to buy gas to get to church. I can walk 3 miles. It won't kill me. I do it all the time for fun. So I might as well do it for a reason. Guys, I'm telling you, there's something God has called us to. God wants us to shine. Now, I want to show you. Jesus gives us the example. So, let's get rid of that me, and I'm just going to let you in on a little. Okay, y'all say that with me. So y'all, okay, you can do this. Say it with me. It's been a little quiet today. A lot of our demonstrative people aren't here, so you guys that aren't normally demonstrative can be a little more demonstrative today. I'm not demonstrative, so it's a little hard for me too. Okay, do the meek, timid, wimpy me, okay? On three, let's all do it together. I want to see if you can do it best, all right? Out loud. One, two, three. Me. I don't know why we talk like that. Me. You got to like put your body into it. You know, if you ever watch somebody sing who doesn't put their body into it? I mean, Elvis Presley, he put his body into it. Right? And we all watched him. Whether you liked him or not, you watched him. Okay, now Do the me like you are somebody. Like, who's going to save the world? Me. Who? Me. Who's going to change your neighborhood? Me. Who's the light of the world? Me. Oh, me. Who is it? Today, I want you to leave with one thing. Confident. Bold. In you. Now, there's a reason to do that, right? So here's the truth. Look at this verse, Luke 12, 22. Jesus, and this is like about worry. Y'all know this passage, but I want you to pick up something here. He says, listen to me, never let anxiety enter your hearts. That's great if we could all stop that just by thinking. It's like it doesn't work that way, right? He says, don't do that. Never worry about any of your needs. Well, Jesus is stupid. Well, pardon me? Lisa, did you say that? I heard somebody say that. So I thought it was Lisa. She's behind the wall. We don't let her get out where people can see her that much. It's really. You know why? Because your life is worth infinitely more. That's what Jesus is saying here. You wouldn't think you're nothing if you knew how valuable he says you are. Yeah, but I'm not like you. Perfect. You're you. What they say on the Dr. Seuss, you're the youingest you that'll ever be. You are you. Now listen, the end of that verse, down in verse 24, he says, isn't your life more precious? Did you know that you're precious to God? That's what Jesus is saying in this passage. If you read the whole passage, he's saying, guys, why are you worrying? If you had even a tiny inkling of how much he thinks about you, that it's not like in general, you. He loves you. The first step you're going to have to take is you're going to have to deal with that thing inside of you that thinks you're not very valuable. The thing that judges yourself. The thing that doubts yourself. You know, those who are weak are made strong. Well, no, he makes the strong strong. That's not what it says. He likes weak people. He likes less than people. I know, because he shines bright inside of us. That's why it's like, be yourself. Yeah, but I can't read. Who cares? That means Jesus is really going to show off in you. Well, I don't have any talents or abilities. Everybody tells me I'm not as good as Philip. Well, who cares? God wants to take somebody like you and make you into a shining star because he gets all the glory. He gets all the credit. Quit taking all the credit for how good he is. You know, it's him. So it's you. So that's the first step, right? The first step is the world doesn't know it, but you're a ninja. Yeah. You know why I picked ninja? Because ninjas, nobody sees them. There's like, y'all are surrounded by ninjas. But ninjas are powerful. I've watched those old Chinese movies where they can like fly and stuff. It's great. Guys, you're a ninja. The truth is, instead of me, it's me. Who's going to step up? Me. Who's going to solve the problems? Me. Who's going to change the world? Me. Who's going to help my neighbor? Me. It's me. So Jesus gives us I want to share something with you because I believe you need a purpose. We need to focus. And so we've spent a long time working on something, and I want to share it with you now, just in a short way. We're going to talk about it for weeks. But, you know, when I ask myself, what were we doing before COVID that we want to keep doing? What were we doing before COVID that we don't want to do anymore? And are there things we aren't doing since Rona showed up that we need to be doing? So we've done this 9 months of soul searching and thinking, and God, okay, this is a great time to reset, to refocus. Okay, Lord, let's get it together. And so this is what we believe. This is what we came up with. This is who Grace Fellowship is. This is who we are as bare bones as we can put it. We create opportunities for people to encounter God and experience unconditional love. We've been doing that for 20 years. It's what we do. For the same reason, we do it because when you encounter God, like Saul, you become Paul. It changes you. And we do that to release people to live joyful, purposeful lives. So we're going to be talking about this. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of that. That is changing the world. That's our part. Now, every church, I think, has a flavor. It has a purpose, a specifics in the big picture of the kingdom. And we do too. And we believe this is who we are. When somebody asks you, what's your church about? Oh, we're about this. Really? Yeah. Well, what's that look like? Me. It looks like you and me and you and you. So we're going to talk about this for a few weeks. But today, I just want to, for the next few weeks, talk about this. We create. How do we do that? How do you become that kind of person? Well, let's look at Jesus. He gave us a great example. This is a real short little Bible study, but I want you to think about some things, okay? This is how Jesus lived in the midst of a storm that he was born into. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore, and then he sat down. Now, first thing you need to do to be who God's called you to be is you've got to believe. You have to believe in yourself that you really are who God says you are, that your life matters, that you count. The first thing is you have to believe. You see, Jesus believed. In Luke 5, says one day Jesus was standing by the lake. You see, I believe Jesus believed that when he was somewhere, the kingdom of God was with him. And this, the language here actually indicates that Jesus, this was intentional. Like, I don't know if he knew what was going to happen at the lake, but I believe when he went places, he went there with that kind of an attitude. He was intentional. You and I need to start living that way in our daily lives. Wherever you're going to work, or you're going to visit somebody, or going to town, you're going to a social event, be intentional. Okay. A son of God just showed up. And all Jesus was doing, he was standing there. Listen, what do you got to do? Show up. By faith. You got to believe that when you show up, you're available to bring people into encounters with God. And so you know what it says? He was standing there, and they were listening to him talk about the kingdom. You see, you bring a unique perspective into every situation you find yourself in. It's called the kingdom of God. The logos, the word of God. You see, that means Jesus shows up and he starts talking. He sees things differently than they did. Now, he wasn't arguing. It wasn't like a political debate. He was releasing the way God saw them. The way God saw government, the way God saw children. Whatever situation he found himself in, when he goes to that lake, he was dealing with Jewish people. He was telling them how the kingdom of God actually looks instead of what they were thought it looked like. Now, so when we go, we intentionally go, and then we make ourselves available to bring God's perspective into any kind of situation we find ourselves in. And you bring a perspective from God that's the only way that could ever come from you is through you. But we all have that same thing. And then it says they forced him to get into one of the boats. No. He did it. You see, you have to be intentional, and you have to take every opportunity that arises in your life. Take opportunities. Ask the Lord, God, is there any way I can interject the kingdom of God into this situation? Is there any way I can give a perspective from your point of view in this situation? Yeah, but they're going to think I'm an idiot. Yeah, maybe. They thought Jesus was. They didn't understand one of those parables he said, but it still changed the world. You see, I believe we have to intentionally do that. And he did this on purpose. He sat down, he taught the people from the boat. And if you go on, he did something then. He was just talking. He was giving. To me, I don't know a way to say this, guys, that it makes sense in my head when I say it this way. When I'm talking to people, I'm aware of that I'm giving them a different way to look at things. A kingdom way. And through my relationship with God and through studying scripture and all the stuff of the kingdom, I'm giving you a perspective. Something horrible happens in your life and I show up and I'm sensitive. And some way I'm going to give you a perspective to see that. I don't even know. It's just supernatural because I don't know how to say that stuff. But then people feel better. And I'm like, I don't know what I did, but I was there and I was giving you the perspective of the kingdom instead of the hopeless perspective of this world, the powerless perspective of this world, the depraved perspective of this world. I want to give you the perspective of the kingdom. That's what Jesus did. And then Jesus did something crazy. He created an opportunity for them to encounter God by telling Peter and his partners to go out back in the lake, go to the deep water, and cast those nets out again. It's what happens when you give yourself away to people. It's what happens when you pray for the sick. It's what happens when you stop and take care of an orphan or widow. You're actually creating an opportunity for the power of God to invade someone's life. It's what happens in 1,000 different ways. That's why it's we, but it's me. When I'm creating an opportunity for people to encounter God, it looks different than you. Yours may be doing something physical. It may be helps. It may be serving. It may be nurturing. Y'all know what that means, nurturing? I looked it up the other day. I said, what is that? I don't know what it is, but it's a good thing, I think. It's a power of God being released in the world today. It may be worship. It may be writing, painting. It may be physical. You see, the truth is we create opportunities. We do that. Well, I'm just waiting for one to happen. Good luck with that. That's called sitting in front of the TV and vegging out. Nothing will ever happen. You know what Jesus did? He invited himself into other people's lives, and he invited them into his life. That's how you do it. That's how you create. You go to them, and then you invite them to what? Jesus, of course, you know what he said to them. Of course, it's so funny because you can see this in this passage. They caught so many fish, blah, blah, blah. That's not blah, blah, blah. It's actually scripture. And when Simon Peter saw the fish, it says he fell at Jesus' knees, and Simon Peter gave Jesus the worldly perspective. Listen. Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. That's not the kingdom. Jesus gave him the kingdom perspective. And he said, Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. In Matthew's version, he said, come, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. See, Jesus ignored that perspective from the world. He said, Simon, you think you're worthless. I think your life has great purpose. And the Bible says they all left their boats, they left everything and followed Jesus and lived a full, amazing life. So what do we do? We go out. We put ourselves into people's lives. We give them the King perspective. We invite them into our lives. And then we ask them that same question. You want to follow me like I'm following Jesus? That'll make you happy. That's where joy and purpose come from. And Viktor Frankl discovered a part of that. He was right. This is true. Whether you're a Christian or not Christian, it's true. It's just true. If you're living for yourself, your life is not going to be full. But when you begin to live for something bigger than you, it changes you. Now, in the kingdom, it's 1,000 times bigger, right? So what are we called to? What are we called to? We create opportunities for people to encounter God and experience unconditional love. Me. Every one of us. Corporately, individually, at home, at work, all the time is what we do. You have great, your life is so important. Now, here's the deal. It is me. Who's going to change the world? Me. Who's going to get us out of this depression? Me. Who's going to help the kids who are being abused and taken advantage of and having all this stuff going on? Me. Yeah. And truth is, you're a ninja. It's good. Nobody knows you. Good. You don't have a platform. You're not a doctor of psychotherapy. Good. You're a ninja. You take the light where you go. Take your light into the darkness and things happen. So why do you need to do this? Why should you do this, right? Why should you join us on this journey? I wrote down some reasons, right? One, living this way will shut the mouth of the accuser. You know, the accuser of the brethren, the devil, who's sitting around telling you all the time you're worthless, things are hopeless, things are no good, it's dark. Look around you, Jesus. You're the Son of God. Look at you. Look at all your disciples. They all ran away. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. You're no good. You're stupid. You've done this before. You've tried to love people. They don't even appreciate you. Look at that, blah, 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 blah. That's the devil. You want to shut him up? Join us in this journey. It'll shut up the accuser in your life. Listen, this is the most powerful thing, a self-care thing you'll ever do for yourself. You mean caring about others and believing that I'm good will that is the most powerful self-care ever. Jesus modeled it, and it's been going on for 2,000 years. It's powerful in your life. You know what happens? What else happens? When you begin to believe this and do it and believe it in yourself, it'll set other people free. It'll set other people free. They'll join you and have purpose and meaning and destiny in their life. And they'll have a reason to get up. And they'll have a reason to look forward to tomorrow. And even when they're suffering, there's a reason for it. And depression and suicide and all that garbage will go away. Listen, that's what happens if you'll do this. You know what will happen if you do this? It'll stop the civil war that the enemy's trying to erupt in our nation. Because if you believe how precious and valuable you are, then guess what? So are they. And instead of saying you're stupid and you're killing, blah, 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 whatever, all that junk they say about each other, you'll value people the way God does. He thinks they're precious. Whoever your there is, you know, we all have a there, right? It's like we're on one side or the other, or maybe we're in the middle. We hate both sides. That's equally there. Well, let's stop that civil war. Let's stop it dead. What do you mean? Let's give people the kingdom perspective. This is how Jesus sees the world. And you know what's funny? This really feels good. When you begin to live this way, everybody you meet is a VIP. And you're excited to meet them. They're valuable. They have worth. It's just like whoever your favorite star is or hero, everybody is. Everybody is. You'd be so happy. I don't know why. How many of you have ever gone somewhere to see somebody that's a star or celebrity or a, you know, you've gone on trips to do that. I just want to go see, you know, I went to see David Wilkerson. I wanted to see him in person. Drove all the way to Dallas. Had no money. Had to drive back because I didn't have the money to pay for a hotel that night. So get up early in the morning, drive to Dallas, see David Wilkerson, and then drive all the way back home that night. I mean, that's the one who didn't die. Well, I was pretty excited. And I knew there was 50,000 people there. I didn't get to talk to him. I didn't get invited to the green room or the blue room or whatever it is where those guys hang out. And then David walked up on stage. You know what he did? Y'all don't want to care. You really don't care. They had girls dancing with silks in the during worship, and he walked out, and he didn't preach. He said he wouldn't preach because there were girls dancing on. This was like 1982 or 3. It's a long time ago. I'm like, David, I came all this way just to see you. I was pretty excited about seeing him. Well, what if you felt that excited about everybody? You wouldn't have to travel. You could just go next door, talk to your neighbor, and woo, you see how perfect they are. It makes everybody, and it really does. It gives your life meaning and purpose. And you begin to recognize, why does Jesus think you're precious and you're valuable? He knows something about you you don't know. And guys, will defeat. You know, one thing that's gone up over 50%, I think, it's a number I've heard, with children since we've been running from Rona. I may patent that, running from Rona. I may write a song, country song about that. I like that. Y'all ever hear that song when you hit old green teeth right in the mouth? That was a country song. I might have write a song about Rona. Children's suicide's gone up almost 50%. Pretty devastating. Guys, what's the answer to depression? Having purpose. Believing you, there's a future. Hope. You see, when we begin to live this way, why is this important? Because we want to grow Grace Fellowship? No. It's about the kingdom of God, and it's about people. People need to know that their lives matter. And so this is a big deal for us. So we're gonna defeat sadness and depression because of Jesus. And we're going to live the way he lived. And so do you know how special you are? I know. I mean, I deal with this a lot in my life with people individually, right? I know we all struggle with this. Like there's, you know, you may think you're the big struggler with it. You probably don't realize the enemy makes us all struggle with this. Because the day I figure out that I actually am that person, then the devil better watch out. You see, if you struggle with this today, I want you to know that there's help. You don't have to live not knowing how special you are. Not knowing how important you are. You don't have to live that way. If you don't feel special, there's a reason, and Jesus will help you. He really will. He saw how special all of us were. He did. And, you know, last time I checked, he doesn't lie. That's the devil who lies. Other thing is this, are you living your life with a purpose? Here at Grace, we want to stay focused on this. We want to create. And we believe it can only happen if it's we. Because we all are different. And you're the only person in the history of the world that can present opportunities to encounter God the way you do. And it's going to be crazy powerful. But I want to ask you if that's true. Do you understand that you have a purpose? Or are you just living for yourself? Living for yourself. If you don't believe me, do a study. You can study that. It's all available. Study how people's self-esteem and joy and quality of life is that live for themselves. It's a dead end street. So this morning, I want to invite you to join us. And join us in living with a purpose. But the first step has to be, you've got to believe in me. You have to believe in yourself. Not me, you. You got to believe in you, me. And if you're struggling with that, and I know we're still under quarantine and stuff, but we're going to have some people up here that will pray with you. It's okay. It's a journey. I think it took Jesus 30 years, 33 years actually, to fully mature in that in his life. I mean, until the day he went to heaven, I think he was still growing. And so it's okay. But if you're struggling with that, we want to help you. You see, we're a prophetic people. That means we actually believe we can hear the Lord's. The Holy Spirit speaks to us about you. Speaks to us. And so let's all stand up. And I want to ask pastors to come up here and the prophetic leadership team that are here, you guys can come up. And we want to pray with you. Because if you go to the trouble to come out here, we're available. We want to create an opportunity for you to hear the Lord. So let's pray. And you just listen. You listen and see what the Lord says to you. So Jesus, I just ask you at make this time personal for each one of us. And it's a big deal, Lord. Would you just bring it up in our hearts and our minds, how we need to respond to you this morning? God, do you want to have an encounter with me today? Now, I believe that an encounter with God can be salvation, giving him your life. It can be finding your purpose. It can be hearing, you need to hear from him yourself about you. I believe there's lots of encounters that the Lord wants to do. So if you felt that, if you heard that in your mind, if you have a desire to have an encounter with God this morning, so these four guys up here would, guys includes girls in my generic verbiage, they want to pray with you. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you came to corporate worship today, and the worship team brought us, really helped us to come into God's presence, and we had encounters with God during worship. And it's hard with the mask on. I almost hyperventilated and passed out once, but y'all thought I fell out of the spirit, but it wasn't. It was literally the mask was killing me. But I encountered him. That's what this is about. So, Father, I just thank you for giving us such an amazing group of people. God, the leaders, the worshipers, just the whole body that you've gathered here at Grace Fellowship. And Jesus, I just ask that in the future you would give us opportunities tonight, tomorrow, this week, to create opportunities. God, that we can create them. Just God, remind us this week that our purpose, what our purpose is. And I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So thank you for being here. God bless you guys this week.